Hello and welcome to another episode of the Keeping Up Appearances podcast. We are a foursome again today, which is good. We've got me and Max, as always, ever-present guest currently, Matthew Griffin. And we've got, our other guest is lucky to be on after last time. It was an absolute travesty. we decided to give him one more go. So, Sean, thank you for coming on.
Don't know, my daughter hasn't looked me in the eyes since the last one, so I had to come back on.
I hope you haven't let her watch that, Jesus. I've never heard language from it, just because...
Oh, she's used to that. It's usually directed towards her.
Again, we mentioned before, well, it's just gone off a little bit, but you seem to have better Wi-Fi this time, Sean.
Oh, don't say it's gone off. Yeah, no, it's great. I was saying before, and it was like 50. It's better known, pretty much, so we should be all right.
Would you like to tell us about your change of circumstances?
So my partner's left me. I get to see the kid on the holiday. I've gone from just working in London to working in North Yorkshire instead, so I'm no longer in the big smoke. I'm in some, I was about to say backwards town, but it's literally called Pickering. I don't want to give too much details away because all your fans will, you know, be on knocking on my door and all that, but it's like there's nothing. I went on delivery before to see if I could order some food, and it's just said, sorry, everything is closed. How can everything be closed? So bit of a change. I'm in some attic instead of a nice holiday inn. So but the Wi-Fi's better, so yeah. You know, swings around about.
Do you know how long you're gonna be there?
We don't really know. It all depends on how much they need us. So we were in London for 2 years, and then I think we're gonna be here till Christmas. But if they need us somewhere else, they just pull us straight off and put us wherever we need it, really.
Yeah. Happy days. At least if you get
Max, are you in a new setting?
I've been kicked out of my office downstairs, yeah. I'm upstairs in the bedroom currently.
Have you put a bed sheet up, or is that your wallpaper?
No, it's just temporary to block the window out. Because we haven't got curtains. We've got to get new curtains.
Oh, okay. So it's like, okay, I thought you tried to make like a podcast studio.
No. It's just, yeah, my bedroom's now a podcast studio.
Looks like one of them videos a terrorist does when he's about to write bombs somewhere.
Another thing I've noticed, Griffin, your audio's a lot better.
I've got a new laptop, lad. I'm all singing, all dancing this week.
Tell you what, some changes this week.
For the podcast? Is it best not be your new laptop for the podcast?
I bought it especially, lad, yeah. I've got a full studio.
Where's your bed sheet?
Yeah, I'm going to get that up in a minute, yeah.
How's working for you, Griffin?
Good, really good, you know, yeah. It's been very, I can't fault it. It's busy, to be honest. It's kind of like straight back in at the deep end, which is not a bad thing. So it's, I can't knock it. And obviously a new laptop, so.
Yeah.
All
Right. Finally, on the work stakes, the one we all care about. Well, I don't know if you two do, but I do. I noticed Roger Williams' season's over, Max.
Yeah.
That can only be bad news.
It is. Yeah, over. We're dead and buried now. Tuesday we did the podcast? Yeah, in the game, the night time. We needed to win another game to go our way. The other game did go our way, but we didn't win. We just couldn't score. We had 44 crosses in the game. Just couldn't score. So we drew that game. That meant we didn't have a bye on Saturday. We had to drive up to Maine, which was a 3.5-hour drive, and then got beat 2-0. So season done and dusted, just like that. We had a bit of a brick wall like 2 or 3 weeks ago. So it is
what do you do now? What do you do now?
With the college stuff?
Yeah, that's it now.
I go, well, that's only my part-time job. My full-time job is the youth stuff, so I'm still busy with that. We got a few sessions left before the winter break with the college thing, and then they'll come back like for small bits and parts in like January, February. And then we wait till next year.
How was that drive, Max? The 3-hour drive back from Maine? Because I imagine you were fuming.
You know what? I wasn't that bad. Like it was like, I didn't expect us to go and win it all. If you'd asked me like 4 weeks ago, I would have. But then like 2.5 weeks ago, we lost our best player as a centre-back. She has a name, was out for the season. We had another player in the starting lineup who got hurt as well. Like, one of the biggest things with like college football is how you build the squad, because obviously you only have them for 4 years and then you graduate and move on. So
and how many crosses you have as well.
Yeah, that's important. Yeah. Make sure you actually get someone who can put them in. So like this head coach came in last year, so this class that came into her first like class of players that she's recruited, so the previous coach hadn't recruited pretty well, so the balance of the squad was pretty bad. So after the first like 13 players, we didn't really have the quality. So once you get a couple of injuries, you're pretty much done.
Is the recruiting like what I think it's like? I mean, you get like the coaches going around the mum and dad's houses and to like giving them cars and that's what I picture it as.
that's American football for certain. They actually go to people's houses and now there's actually like NIL it's called, so the players in college can actually get money, so it's not as shady as that way.
I've seen them all on Barstool contracts and all that.
It's mad.
So that's what the clubs do to get players. They'll almost like try and buy them so they don't go elsewhere.
The college programs for football, yeah,
yeah.
They'll, a lot of those players make more money in college now than they do if they went to the NFL.
Yeah,
which is crazy.
Yeah,
they all get sponsorship deals.
I'm just imagining me as an American teenager. I'm gutting it a bit to see everyone else in my street with new cars, and
nobody would be knocking on yours, Sean.
Unless you get sponsorships in Kirby, then I'll be flying, mate.
Right, go on then. So on the just before we move on, is that the last of Roger Williams then for the podcast for now? We won't hear any more.
Until next year. Yeah,
rest in peace, Roger.
We got a big tournament to go to next week that we'll recruit at. So I'll let you know if we get any decent players. If not, you won't hear till next August what we're up to.
Okay, nice one.
You guys, I think of something else to say now when you ask me how I'm doing.
No, it's not even about you. I'm invested in these girls now. Not in that way. Let's just stop those accusations.
So am I, Sean.
Yeah, so let's park that one there and move on to, rather than the fantastic young girls playing footy, let's move on to the men in the Premier League and talk about how it all went this weekend. Obviously, Everton are due to kick off in just under an hour and a half, so we won't have any real Everton talk today. But I want to start off talking mainly about kind of the top end of the Premier League, where I feel like it all seems to have settled down a little bit this weekend. And if you look at the table now, it feels a bit more as it should be, doesn't it? Where you've got Arsenal, City, Liverpool as the top three, as opposed to last weekend where Sunderland and Bournemouth, and I know Bournemouth are fourth, but you know what I mean? That top three just feels as it should be. So my question to you three is, how do you see that situation now? Where is your head at in terms of who's going to kind of make a bit of a run for it now? Who's favourite to maintain it?
I don't know. I think it's got to be like the worst quality title race for a while. I feel like a team who loses, what was it, 5 games in a row, whatever it was, they should not still be in a title race. But any other season, it'd be done, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems like no one really wants to win. I think Arsenal look good. Like, I'd be surprised if they messed it up from here. But it's Arsenal, innit? So they've always got it in them to do it. City look a bit better as well. I do think it's probably too far for Liverpool. Not even because of the gap, because the gap isn't that big. That's been breached a lot on it in the past few seasons, but it's just they still don't look right, do they? It's just still not clicking. But it's not fully clicking for everyone, really. That Arsenal team wouldn't have won the league 3-4 years ago.
Wow.
But I can't see anyone else taking it off them, like.
I think the open play thing for Arsenal about scoring from open play, I think they will need to change eventually to see it out, like. But the defence is so good. And the way they're set up, they don't look like ever concede, and never mind getting beat. I think I agree with Sean. Like City, any other year now would be licking the lips, I think, because Liverpool have obviously done what they've done. I said Spurs last week, but then against Chelsea they were atrocious, so I kind of take that back. And I also said Liverpool a week before. I'm a man of many statements that are all wrong, it seems. But I think, if Arsenal don't win it this year, Arteta will be gone, and I can't see them ever winning it. In all honesty, if they don't win it this year, because, I mean, the money they've spent, the squad they've got. If you look at this squad, the starting 11 and the bench, it's like it's a dream, isn't it, really?
It's his squad as well, isn't it? I feel like if you get rid of him and bring someone else in, you've got to start again, because it's all built around the way he plays, the defensive mindset.
Yeah.
I love that. Like, I know you got that Chelsea record, or what was it? I think it was 13 goals, wasn't it, in the Prem?
15.
That is a 15. That's beatable. That's genuinely beatable this season with them.
The defence is particularly amazing, isn't it? Let's be honest, yeah. I just think they don't score from open play. I think, obviously, they scored against Burnley, don't get me wrong, but that will catch up with them eventually. I think that I predicted 0-0 against Burnley because of that reason, where you think like they're going to put 11 behind the ball and sit in and they're big and whatever else, but obviously they overcame that. I think Sunderland, again, will be the similar type of challenge of that, like, you know, everyone behind the ball, score off a set piece, but they do score off set pieces, don't they? So it's like they seem to have a full arsenal of...
Hey. You like that? It is probably just a Declan Rice injury away, though, isn't it? Because I know they've got all these players who can win an edit in the box, but his set pieces are just ridiculous, aren't they? The whip he gets on them, the precision he gets on them. I don't think it's really down to the set piece coach, really. It's down to how we can whip a ball in. So if he's out for a few weeks, you never know. He could piece together a few 0-0s and then people will catch up quickly, won't they? But I don't know. There's something a bit more ruthless about them this year. Don't know.
There was the year that Liverpool, 08, when Rafa did the fax thingy. They drew 10 games that season and lost the league. They only lost twice. And I think there'll be a lot of games this season where, you're right, Griffin, like, they could drop points just because they drew. And
yeah,
there's going to be teams that are set up in a certain way to defend the fact that they are a set-piece team, a dead ball team. So they definitely have got to change that. And next year for them, you got some players there that are going to be like, I don't really want to sit on the bench anymore if we're not going to win. You got like, you signed Noni Madueke. He's not going to play in front of Eze and Saka. And then you got Mourinho. Is he really even playing? If you have a proper midfield of like Rice, Superman, the Odegaard, if everyone's fit.
Yeah.
So now's the time to win. And you have to win this season.
I think Eze is the one that he signed who is like the difference, though. He is superb. I think he is so good. He's the type of like player that Arsenal almost wouldn't sign in the last couple of seasons. I know it sounds a bit ridiculous, but like he's like a luxury, isn't he? But then he just pops up with that decisive goal and stuff. So
with the squad thing, I don't think it matters when you win them. If you look at when City were piecing together these three in a row of the leagues, people were happy to sit on the bench then. They get this half an hour, 20 minutes. If you're winning, you can see what the manager's doing. It's when a few losses come and then you're still not playing. That's when players want to leave. And that's what happened with Cancelo and all them players that forced their way out of City, is because they weren't getting nailed on 90 minutes when they were losing. So I think if they carry on winning, I don't think the squad's an issue, because although Lewis Skelly didn't start the season left back, he's playing more and more games. And Mourinho's played in after games. I've watched them. So them type of players, I think they'd be happy to just play a part if you win in a league and going strong like that. It's when you start losing is when the squad thing becomes an issue, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Well, yeah, that's the thing. If they don't win the league, then those questions will start to come, I think. Because I think next year, City are going to be better. They just will. And then Liverpool should theoretically be better because those players have all bedded in. We'll see, though, because I don't even want to get onto them. But yeah, now's the time for them to win the league. Five points clear. We actually said it, well, you said it, Griffin, a few weeks ago, the 5 points when we were clear wouldn't be breached. It's been a 13-point swing since then, so anything can happen, but...
Arsenal won't look... I can't see Arsenal looking as bad as we have looked at. I don't think they'll drop to that level, personally.
No. But... I also don't see City clicking like we see in old City, because although everyone just assumes, we've been saying that for a while now, that City is going to click someday. And it hasn't. It feels like Pep's a bit lost to me. Like he's had to come away from his tiki-taka stuff because people have basically found a fix for it. it feels like he doesn't really know what his style is. When I watch City now, all they seem to do is try and counteract the high line and play Haaland into running from 30 yards. That's all they seem to... That's their only game plan. It feels a bit like they don't really know what they're trying to do, City, now. So I don't think it ever... Well, Liverpool are similar, to be honest. I don't think it ever can click when there's no, like, clear method. Do you know what I mean? At least, I know Arsenal isn't the most entertaining, but they know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
So I think that's the difference. I don't think it's a matter of clicking. I think it's a matter of just finding something. So I just don't think either of you are going to be able to find something that quickly anyway to counteract what Arsenal do, because everyone just seems to be copying Arsenal at the minute, don't they? And it's you can't do it that way because they're the best at it.
Yeah.
On City as well, I'm going to assume it's true. I saw a stat this morning that was City's second top scorer this season is that Burnley centre-half that scored 2 on goal.
Yeah.
Like when you talk about the old City, that old City had everyone chipping in with goals, didn't they? From everywhere, the midfield. Yeah. If they haven't got that now, again, you can't rely on Haaland, can you? He's, again, obviously, he is incredible, but he's not going to do it every week. He can't do it every week. So then...
He also might get injured at some point as well.
Exactly. Yeah. And then that's City's charge to try and keep the pressure on Arsenal. Let's be honest, Arsenal fold, or famously have folded, when there's pressure on them. And if the other teams aren't performing, what reason is there to fold? You know what I mean? Like, if Liverpool don't look any good, they're not chasing you, they don't need to panic. Arteta's a bottle job when it comes to when he's something on the line. Arsenal currently don't. They're just like...
Yeah, you need pressure to bottle, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. And I think Haaland at some point is going to stop scoring. He just will. And then it's on Liverpool, isn't it? Because even like...
Yeah.
As much as everyone enjoys like looking at your Tottenhams and your Bournemouths and that, they can't sustain it, can they? Like, as much as everyone loves watching them play, they're never going to be in that title race come like February, March. So it's on those big teams. But as I say, realistically, I can't see it unless Liverpool's big stars that they've bought start clicking, which, as I say, I don't know because I'm not a keen watcher of Liverpool. But there's a reason it hasn't worked up to now, isn't there? So, what are the chances?
I think City must look at the likes of the players that they've lost. So, like Alvarez being like probably the best example of like, imagine if City had Alvarez now.
Yeah.
They could mix it up. City used to be able to mix it up and do like various things. You know, they had Silva chipping in with like 10, 15. Bernardo Silva used to get a few Foden bang like 20 goals one season. Now, you're right, John. I totally agree with everyone who said it's just the Haaland show. And I actually do think he'll sustain it, as in he could score a goal a game.
Me too, because it's built around him, isn't it?
Yeah, but you don't win the league without like Arsenal have got Gyökeres or whatever. I don't really rate him too highly, but they've got a full squad of players who you think will chip in. The Rice will probably get 5-10 a season, you know. So, yeah, I think it's... I bet the Pep wishes he could go back and look at players like Alvarez, even Grealish, and go, we had it so good at one point.
Yeah, it feels like they just lost all creativity in the team. The signings haven't helped because he's like replaced Alvarez with Marmoush, who's a great player, but he's not at all the same player. He's like pace and power, whereas Alvarez was far more technical. Doku's similar. He's going to beat a man, but he can't kick a footy. You know what I mean?
Doesn't feel like a Guardiola player, Doku.
No. That's why I feel like he's lost. I feel like he doesn't really know what he's trying to build.
Yeah.
It's like he realises that he needed to come away from his usual style and he's built it on kind of nothing. I don't think... I can't see what they're trying to do when they're playing.
I feel like Doku, though, when he brought him in, it was almost like if he'd have committed to that, we could have seen a plan B, couldn't we? We could have seen a different type of City.
Doku's great. All, did he? Doku's great, yeah.
Yeah.
He's just not Pep, is he?
Yeah. Well, if we move further down the table then, probably the result I wanted to talk about most is, I'll invite you to do that in a minute, but that West Ham-Newcastle game, which kind of, I think for everyone, came out the blue. I don't think anyone was expecting West Ham to batter them. But I think that probably says more generally about Newcastle and the current situation where... It probably made even worse by the fact Sunderland are doing well when you've got Newcastle, who are the richest club in the world, and they've had years of Champions League and stuff, and then Sunderland have come in and shown them kind of like maybe they're not where they want to be, especially in that very heated rivalry. So any thoughts on Newcastle, or in particular West Ham, who looked dead and buried, and after a good win against a good side, it might give them a bit of confidence. So anyone got any thoughts on that game?
I think it says a lot about Nuno as a manager. I think that's the best they've looked by a mile all season. One of my mates is Alex. He's a West Ham fan. He obviously like loves West Ham. And he said that's by a mile the best performance they've put in. Just that organisation that Nuno gives. And I think he is a very, very, very good manager. And he doesn't go under the radar necessarily, but I think we don't appreciate how good he is to take that team and to beat a strong Newcastle starting 11. Is very, very good.
Yeah.
So to go and beat them is some achievement, I think.
What I like about Nuno is that he changes his team based on who he's playing. You have so many managers now that are too stuck in their system or stuck in their formation, and Nuno, he's seen that Newcastle midfield, which is, let's be honest, probably the best midfield in the Premier League, that three is so good.
Yeah.
And his whole game plan was just bypass them. So he had that pot sitting, and he had Suchek in front, and they just basically skipped midfield the whole game, and it took away Newcastle's biggest threat, really. I wish more managers, especially Moyes, to be honest, I wish more managers took each team as a different game and not just set up exactly the same and I think that every game's going to go the same way. That's what Nuno's good at, and I think more managers should be more flexible like him, because it works, doesn't it?
I think when you talk about Nuno as well, you make a good point, Griffin, about he's not really respected. You think every club he's gone to, he took Wolves from the Championship to the Europa
League. Yeah, we did Wolves, yeah.
He took Forest to the Championship. His accomplishments are unbelievable, considering that he's the short span of his career. And he probably isn't respected as much as he should be, probably because of the way he seems to leave clubs, where it's quite...
He's a bit of a knobhead, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, well. Yeah, Spurs is probably the only, one he hasn't particularly shone at, isn't it? But
the amount of managers that haven't done well at Spurs, though.
Yeah,
I agree. I don't get me wrong, but I think Spurs is almost like a poison chalice in some respects, because it very rarely goes well. The managers the Spurs have had, if you list them, I mean Conte, Mourinho, just off the top of your head, they're it's like Everton, Gus Hiddink,
yeah,
ridiculous managers.
Okay. Ancelotti.
I'll take Gus Hiddink, please.
Not him, yeah. Ancelotti, sorry, yeah. Either way.
Yeah. But even like
if we're talking about that game and talking about Newcastle, can we talk about one of the most overrated players, I think, in my lifetime? Anthony Gordon. I know I'm bitter, but I've never seen a player believe the hype over his talent more than him. He's the way he plays football, he nearly cost him three goals, and he's a winger. He's left winger, and he was nearly his sole fault for three goals, because he's trying to play out from the back, because he's pulled back to thinking he's fucking Harry Kane for England or something. He can drop back and get the ball. I know he got dragged off at half time, but I think I saw on Twitter before it was 19 Premier League games without an assist or a goal for Anthony Gordon, and I've just never been more devastated that Liverpool didn't spend 100 million on a player, because it would have been the most colossal waste of money, even more than the waste of the summer. Because I don't think he's one of the players who is quick and will always be a threat because he wants it, but you can tell that he's got that snidey side to him, which is great. I like that. But he just hasn't got the talent to back up what he thinks he has. When every time I watch him play now, I just, honestly, I'm devastated that bid didn't go in.
Max, what's your thoughts on Gordon?
Mine.
Max, mine. As a Liverpool fan.
I didn't want him. I wouldn't have spent. It was the number that Sean just said. It was 100 million was the talk, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I don't think he's worth that at all. I think he would be capable of chipping in with 10 goals and 10 assists a season, but Liverpool need more than that. That's why I was happy we didn't sign. I think he's a good player, though.
He's a good player. I think 40 million was about right. Like, he's a good player. When you've got that much pace and that much tenacity, you are a good player. He'll be a good Premier League player. But it's the way he strolls around the pitch. He's becoming a liability with the way he's playing. He thinks he's going to pick up the ball from deep and take everyone on, and he hasn't got that.
What I might say is, why your opinion might be different, Griffin, is that every time he plays against Liverpool, he's very, very good.
Yeah, he is.
But I was thinking...
Last time he got sent off.
Even for Everton, he was as well.
Yeah.
I was thinking, like, he's a Klopp signing. It'd be, like, absolutely superb, I think, under, like, Klopp. Like, Sadio Mane type, that level, at the time, he'd just go through the roof, I think. I would have loved us to get him. Not 100 million.
Klopp would also have got a player like that and said, listen, just stay there. It's your job to knock it past the fullbacks and beat them. That's your job. Or is the tuck inside and shoot like he does? But the way he's playing now, do you know the way? Don't go back 6-7 years that everyone was having a go at Harry Kane for dropping deep. Watch Anthony Gordon now. That's what he does.
Yeah.
And he hasn't got an ounce of the ability that Harry Kane's got. And people were telling Harry Kane not to do it. Honestly, I've never seen a battle on a player. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but shaking better than Harry Kane.
Sean, what's your views on that? Sean, Shea Given or Jordan Pickford?
Well, I love Jordan Pickford, clearly, obviously. And I'd have Jordan Pickford slightly ahead of him, but I was more disappointed with the grief that Shea Given got. You mentioned Shea Given as if he was Shea Given was incredible.
I know he was. No, I know. I didn't mean to do a disservice. Shea Given, if you're listening, mate, fucking love you, son.
But the way you said his name, it was like he was saying, like, fucking Bowers Mile or something. I didn't know what was going on.
No, I was just saying, I think Shea Given's the level, like, very good, below, like, Alisson, Ederson. And that would be a conversation that Pickford would be in, below that premium goalie.
I love Pickford. I think he's one of the most underrated keepers in the Premier. He gets a terrible rap because of the way he acts. And the way he acts is nuts, isn't it? He's all over the place. But I think that's fair.
Unless
Fair, because
Shea Given
was great.
Well,
sorry.
Yeah.
He's not as good as Pickford, just throw that out there.
I would have Pickford over him just because Pickford's so good with his feet.
Yeah. And that's.
But.
What you don't know, Sean, is following that, Griffin maintained this in a WhatsApp group. He was throwing keepers at me and he was going, Pickford, and he was literally listing so many keepers. And it got to the point where it was like, he went back as far as David Seaman. And I was like...
Sean said Pickford above Seaman.
No, whoa.
He's miles better than David Seaman.
Right.
Shea Given was better than David Seaman.
No chance.
This is the problem I had. We can't even compare them two keepers. They couldn't be more different, them keepers.
No.
So what's the point in the conversation? Back then, David Seaman, when you've got to make yourself big, and it's all about like making saves. David Seaman was great because he was about 7 foot. He was massive.
Yeah, you might as well have had Rockport. And I don't think I've ever seen kick the ball.
But in the current game, he wouldn't get a sniff. In the current game, he played the Marine.
He was a big stiff idiot. Yeah, there's no way exactly. he'd get a game in the current time.
His
eyes,
his hands.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he was beautiful. I'm not saying he wasn't, but he was. There's no way to play in the current game. There's no way.
Exactly, and that was my point. It just got stupid. Some of the stuff Griffin was saying again.
What also done me head in is that when you were doing the brackets on that episode, you put Ederson up with Alisson. That offended me. Ederson is shit.
Yeah.
And I know that he plays with his feet, and he is great. He's the best keeper in the world with his feet, but he can't save a shot.
There was a period where, like, everyone was saying he was better than Alisson, though. Which I agree. Alisson, I think Alisson is better than Ederson. But for a long period of time, like,
he played for Brazil, didn't he?
He played for Brazil.
Yeah,
exactly.
But I think that is because that was Jordan that era of playing from the back. And now that era's gone, and Pep even saw that clearly, because now that era's gone, he got shipped out straight away, because if you're not playing out from the back, he's a liability, isn't he? So he's nowhere near that, but that bracket, Shea Given over Ederson all day.
Nice.
Honestly, never thought we'd champion Shea Given so much. Ridiculous.
Maybe titleist podcast this episode, Shea Given or Jordan Pickford episode 2.
Yeah, keep going. Or just every new guest we get on, we'll just ask them who's better.
Yeah, just just public apology to Shay Given this one.
Can I move on to Tottenham and Chelsea for a second? Because there's a bit I want to talk about. Obviously, you're talking about like teams not being close. Chelsea beat Tottenham, and Tottenham are fifth, and Chelsea are sixth, and they're still both seemingly seems miles away from the top. Did you see the moment when Mickey van der Ven and Jed Spence walked off and sort of like didn't acknowledge Thomas Frank? What would you want to happen if that was at your club?
I'd want Thomas Frank to go in and bitch slap him, mate. So embarrassing. Even if he didn't agree with the way they set up for the game, honestly, that is so. They'd be gone.
Who the fuck's Jed Spence? Question it. He's had 10 games where doing wrong. He looks decent, but like, I mean, at any level, any business, any job that we do, imagine. So, like, I mean, I work in restaurants as an example. Imagine like a waiter at the end of the night saying goodnight and just completely blanking you. In any job in Tesco, you'd be like, "What the fuck are you doing?" But it just so happens that this is on the Sky Sports. Yeah. And you see it, and they've just got to beat Chelsea, fair enough. They looked awful, but it's just... Tottenham is such a mad team where the Mickey van der Ven, obviously, he's very good, but they think that, like, they've not done anything to warrant that reaction to Thomas Frank.
You did say they're title contenders last week. So maybe they saw that and thought, yeah, we are, you know.
Well, maybe they heard me, and that can rub off on people. I do have that effect on footballers in particular. Yeah. But
he's always rubbing off the footy players.
I think if you look at that squad, what I meant about that is you look at that squad, that first 11 in particular, it's very, very strong. And I thought about the rest of the top 3-4 who were all doing particularly poorly, as discussed on this episode of the podcast, Keeping Up Appearances. I just think now, like Sean's right, it's just ridiculous to act like that. And like Thomas Frank, I think everybody respects him. Yeah. I think.
Well, he's clearly a nice guy, and that's why it annoyed me so much, because I don't think anyone's ever had a bad word to say about Thomas Frank, and they've clearly took advantage of that. But he is a Premier League manager, and if the next game that they're playing, then it's on him. It's on him, isn't it?
Yeah. In the press conference afterwards, did you see that, where he came out and said, he didn't come out and say, like, oh, they're not going to play again for this club or anything like that. He was very much like, oh, well, everyone's trying hard and everyone wants to win and all that. It's like, you're joking, aren't you?
But then we'll have four of them doing it next week, won't we?
Yeah, he's got a decision to make, because you would think about dropping him, but they got the Champions League this week. So you're going to drop Mickey van der Ven's, your best
centre.
You're going to have
Mickey van der Ven isn't all that, I don't think. He's in the same mould for me as like Kyle Walker, who's he can rescue games with his pace, but defensive wise, Danso and Romero are better than him. That's what I mean. If it was the leaders of this team who had done that, it wouldn't excuse it, but at least they'd have, I don't know, a bit of licence to do it. Whereas this is two players who they were in the team 2 weeks ago. I don't understand it.
Well, I was just going to say, the other week, Max, me and you talked about when Mark Gay did the same thing to Glasner. Maybe it is on the professionalism side of things, but Gay came through the other side of that. Gay's reputation didn't get changed at all, did it? As in, maybe it's just because he is more of a professional than maybe they are. But, yeah, why is it different for Gay to these two?
I think Gay, on that point, I remember the point you were talking about, but I don't think anyone could be more respectful of the club than Gay, even through all the Liverpool stuff when he was leaving. I know he wrote a letter to the fans and all that, but after all that, when it fell through, he came out and said, straight back in, no problem at all, you know what I mean, which is very rare. Jed Spence clearly is a little prick. Fact. Oh. Like, he just looks like someone who, like, in school with a Rob Darfussy as an example, he's just horrible.
Yeah. Well, when you talk about Andy Gordon believing his hype, which I won't go into it, but I won't have a bad word said about Andy Gordon, so that's why I kept me
off. Yeah, that's it.
But in the same way, Jed Spencer's always been there, hasn't he? You've never seen a player like think he's the man before he's the man, like Jed Spencer. Like, remember when was he at Forest when he came up?
Mm.
Was that those famous photos of him in the changes and Just like he's getting photos like he's Michael Jordan back in the day in the chain, and you're just like, you haven't done anything to earn that yet. So maybe that is the difference again, where Mickey van der Ven might think he can do it because he scored two against Everton the other week, and it's kind of put him back amongst the rankings, if you know what I mean. But as you say, Jed Spence hasn't done anything yet. He doesn't have
that
level of credibility to get away with this.
It's a bit unfair on Van der Ven because I don't think he actually swerves the high five. I think he's just next to Spence, personally. So I don't think it's necessarily all Van der Ven, but Jed Spence clearly goes and just ignores it, which...
They're both walking off the pitch, and what he's trying to do is getting to go round to the fans, because I think they lost away at Chelsea, and he goes down the tunnel. He hasn't gone to the away fans. It was a draw at Chelsea. It was 0-0, but it was the week of the whole Eze thing. This game, they've lost at home. They're getting booed by the fans, which is also crazy considering you think the fifth, and last season they were 17th. But they've just walked straight off, and they were at fault for the goal, I think. And had two or three moments where they were both defensively bad and could have conceded another goal. I think the biggest thing is what Griffin said. Who do you think you are? Both of you have done nothing in your career so far. Yeah, you won the trophy last season, but after the probably worst season in Tottenham's...
Game 17.
You got absolutely no right to go do that.
With Spence, he nearly ruined his career with his attitude. And then he finally gets a chance back, performs well. He's a good player. But he performs well, gets back into the team, and does he just forgets what happened in the past? Like, the whole reason he had to resurrect his career was because of stuff like this. It just seems, I don't know, he's obviously just that type of character, isn't he? But I saw the clip, and I know Van der Ven doesn't, you don't see the clip of Van der Ven ignoring the handshake or whatever, but he's very clearly, blanking him, isn't he? So I think he's just as bad, and like I said before, if it was two, I think that's the difference with Mark A, is that Mark A is a captain. You don't know what's gone on there between conversations, especially, I think it was after Joram, whilst he was pushing for a move for Liverpool. You don't know what's gone on there. That's different, and he's a leader, and he's always spoke well. It was Van der Ven and Spence. The squad players, and they're acting as if they're undroppable, and I just hope he drops them.
I think the issue will be, when you talk about will he be in the squad next week, as you said, Max, the fact that fans are booing them. I've seen on Twitter and stuff, Tottenham fans have been all over Frank for that, saying it was totally his fault how we lost. I don't know if the fans will back him if he dropped.
They don't like him.
They don't like him.
No. Apparently they hate the way the football's gone. They've gone from Ange to him. It's a complete flip, innit? But I don't think football fans are confusing.
Exactly, football fans are just in every team. Everyone's got their issues, but they've gone from being 17th to 5th. I think that the issue they had was that they played the same way they did against you last week away at Goodison Park. They played at home against Chelsea, so they played that sort of counter-attacking style, and they don't think they should. But again, the 5th. And the Champions League, and they won last time out in the Champions League. They got Copenhagen this week, which they should win. You got to sometimes pick your battles as a football fan, don't you, really?
Yeah.
I don't think Spurs fans will ever be happy. I think West Ham are another example. You know, that little, smaller London clubs than Arsenal and Chelsea probably now, they'll never be happy. West Ham had Moyes and he were in Europe and he wanted more. It's just... take stock almost, you know.
It's like they think they deserve good football, which is just such an arrogant way to think of our football. I wouldn't give a shit how Everton played. We've played shite for 10 years, but if we win a game, I'm made up, I don't care.
I would say the way to talk about it is not the West Ham way.
You think we are?
I would say you were in the minority in terms of Everton. I think
maybe.
As much as I'm probably primed to get slated here, but that same attitude Griffin said about them, I think a lot of Everton fans have that.
Well, you know what? I knew you were going to say that, and I think almost Everton will outgrow Moyes eventually and go and I think West Ham were potentially right in thinking we should be doing better than this, but if you just take a step back and go look, previously we were wherever we were, then it's not a bad place to be with Moyes. I do think on the contrary, what I'm saying almost and what I'm arguing is that I do think Everton could do a lot better with a prospective manager who would take them places like Nuno or like whoever it may be. But you've tried that and it didn't work. So it's like, it's a double-edged sword, isn't it, for clubs like Everton, for clubs like Tottenham, for clubs like West Ham.
I'm almost the opposite. The way Spurs fans and West Ham fans want to play this open, expansive football. I grew up with Walter Smith, and then Moyes came in and made us this horrible team to play against. That is my Everton. So the way they talk about the West Ham way, that's my Everton way. I'd love us to be horrible and just hard to play against. That's what I enjoy watching Everton do. So I suppose it's just a generational thing. And if you go back to the 70s and 80s, you'll have Everton fans who'd say different. But that is my Everton. So I'm happy with that.
But if you do that as well, you've got Everton fans have seen their teams win leagues, and you've got Tottenham fans and West Ham fans like who haven't seen them win anything still. Like Tottenham before, 1960-something, they won something before the League Cup in 2013.
But if you look at what Arsenal are doing now, I know they haven't won it, but it's clearly possible to win playing that type of football. So I don't see how everyone can be so cutthroat with the line on good and bad football. You're fuming when you were 17th and they're now 5th in the league. It's just because they're not playing balls through the lines and players aren't taking on the RCN and all this shit. It's just, who cares? Win a game.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I love your rant. I also noticed, you know, when you're on a rant, the swearing increases across the board.
I just feel myself get angry, and then everyone just comes with
me. Yeah, they do, yeah. You freeze forever. Right, we'll leave it there so we can all have a little calm down, and I'll hand over to Matt before this week's game.
Okay, this week's game is Who Is That Mystery Footballer? So I'm going to give you three clues to a footballer. They're going to be quite random or vague. Sometimes they might not be. You get three yes or no questions each and two answers each at the player. So you can work together based off your questions, but I'll give a point to the person who actually gets it. I've got five to go through, so we'll see how quickly we go through them. And I've made the first one relatively easy, so you understand the game. Sound good?
Sorry, Max, just a quick one. How are we answering? Do we shout our name first? Like, if you know what I mean.
You said we're working together, aren't you? I thought we were working together.
No, but...
Yeah.
The aim of the game is to be the one to answer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I guess you can shout your name first if you want.
All right. And if I shout Sean, keep your mouth shut.
Okay, so the first three clues. So he scored his first Premier League goal in a Liverpool win against Tottenham in 2014. He made his debut on the Kenny Dalglish in 2011. And his third clue, he went to SFX College.
Sean?
Yes.
John Flanagan?
Correct. So that was just the random ones to get you going. So I've got five.
I thought I was on the board there.
What was the fourth clue?
He got a stiffy.
Fuck ugly. Sorry.
Fourth clue that was in white too English at me. Okay.
Was he
that one? No, surely not.
Just look at him, there's no way he was.
Yeah, he was in Beckett for all classes.
I thought he was just eating chicken out the bins. Do you know what I mean?
he was just beating me at odds every day.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll go with this one. So first clue, he helped Benfica win the Portuguese League in 2011. Second clue, he played for two clubs, both under Jose Mourinho. And the third clue, he is currently a player at Sassuolo in Italy.
He played for two clubs in his whole career?
No, two clubs, both under Jose Mourinho.
Right.
I should have said that's your question, yes or no.
Right.
Oh, shit.
So if we want more information, we can ask you the question. But is it yes or no? Okay.
Is it round robin?
Three each. You can do round robin for that, yeah. But you can shout your name at any point to guess the player.
Is he a World Cup winner?
No.
Okay.
He play on the wing?
No.
Is he Portuguese?
No.
Okay.
The first clue was, what about Benfica? He made his debut.
No, he won the league with them in 2011.
And he's still playing now at Sassuolo.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, it's yes or no, not mm-mm.
I won't count that as your question because it's part of the clue. Two questions. No,
yeah.
Can I ask a question? Is he a midfielder?
Yes.
Go on, I'll ask one. Was one of his clubs with Mourinho in England?
Yes.
Can I guess the name?
Yes.
Is it Gedson Fernandes?
No.
Can I guess the name?
Wait, can I just throw it out there?
Is it Jorginho?
No.
So, shit. I'm just going to throw it out there now. You two are lost. Oh, no. Have you guessed?
They've guessed one each.
You've got one more left, and then you're out.
I didn't know that was a real. I'm on the guess.
Three questions and two guesses each.
Okay.
So, I think you've got... Griffin might have two questions, and you've both got one question each. Sure. Yeah.
No, I've got two still.
You got two. Stay.
No, we haven't.
Is he Italian?
No. I'm learning with this now. The next clues for the other players might be slightly easier.
No, it's good. I like it. This is good.
No.
It is good. This is a good game.
Okay.
Good game.
I only know one player that's ever played for Sassuolo. That's my problem.
Yeah. I didn't even know Sassuolo. I thought it was a pasta dish.
I haven't even got any questions to ask, really.
So, we know he hasn't won the World Cup.
Can I just...
He's not Portuguese. He's a midfielder. And he has played in England under Mourinho.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
In England?
Yeah.
The team he played at under Mourinho was at Chelsea.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh.
But then the issue now is which spell, isn't it?
He went back, didn't he? Yeah. Well, it's got to be the second.
Someone else got a question, hasn't it? Hasn't someone else got a question?
On the Jose Mourinho. So it won't be Chelsea twice.
Someone else has got a question, haven't he? So why didn't you ask what spell that is?
Well, no, because we know what spell.
It must be the second.
He made it. Yeah, he won the league with Benfica in 2011, so it's got to be the second spell.
There's no way he made his debut. He was playing for Chelsea in 2004 and still playing now.
And still playing now.
So the second spell.
But the second...
Still playing now.
Go on. I think I've got one question left.
I've got one question left as well, I think, haven't I?
Is he European?
That was going to be mine.
Yes.
Okay, can I have a guess? I've got two guesses, so I'll go one. Is it Matic?
Correct, Sean.
Oh.
Nemanja Matic.
Oh. Lovely. Oh, so it was United and Chelsea?
United and Chelsea.
Ah.
Sean, that is vintage. Yeah, keep up appearances.
Well done, Sean.
Well done.
Okay, we'll move on to the second player.
Can I guess it?
So he was born in Jamaica. Is your first clue. In 2019, he was featured on Time Magazine 100 Most Influential People for his stance against racism. And then the third clue. Before I even get a third clue, go on.
Is it Cole Palmer?
Incorrect.
Ah, shit.
2019, was he about 15 then?
Yeah, he's always been against racism, Sean.
He was great in secondary school.
He's on the school council.
The third clue, he built a football pitch in his old primary school in Wembley.
Oh, Sean. Is it Dele Alli?
Incorrect.
Oh.
So you two have got one guess each left, Sean got two, and you have three questions each.
There's actual questions.
That was just my question, it wasn't my guess.
Question then, I'll ask a question. Did he play in one of the top four Premier League clubs?
Yes.
to find top four?
Can only do yes or no questions.
I mean, define top four. Yes.
Hi, I've got a question.
Yeah.
Is he active or retired?
Active. You can't say, well, yes or no.
Is he active?
Yes.
I only know of three Jamaicans.
One of them's Levi Roots.
Yeah, one of them's the Sheffield Raggers on Swift. the 2019 thing.
Is it Raheem the Dream Sterling?
Correct.
No. Jesus Christ, I'm bad at this.
2 points to you, Sean, in the lead. Okay. Player number three. He made 134 appearances for his country. He made his debut as a teenager for Blackburn Rovers under Kenny Dalglish. When he retired, he became a goalkeeping coach for Derby County while working with Frank Lampard.
I hope he was a
question.
Griffin.
Did he play for England?
No.
Question. Was he a goalkeeper?
Yes.
That could be the stupidest question anyone.
Sorry.
That's not. Why is it?
A goalkeeper coach?
He might not be.
No, he was a winger and he coaches goalkeepers.
Well, I'm just confirming. You've got three questions each, Sean.
And a championship club. And a championship club that have hired...
Sorry, who was he the keeper coach for? Who was it? What club was that?
Derby.
Derby. Under Lampard, did you say?
Yes.
So...
Okay. Lampard. 134 is a lot for a country, isn't it?
Yeah.
It could be almost like, you know, someone we spoke about quite a lot on the podcast. Is it, Max, is it Shea Given?
Yes.
quality.
Should have got that, really.
Yeah.
Well, that, Max, well then.
Okay.
Don't think Pickford will get that many.
Did you only get that given from when you knew he was a goalie? Have you got one more, Max?
He wasn't a winger.
Yeah, go on, one more, go on. That's fun, though.
Okay. He scored on his Premier League debut for Forest in 1992.
Sean? Is it Roy Keane?
No.
Oh.
I guess he's a fucking clue.
It would have been great, wouldn't it?
He won the Golden Boot in 1993.
Keen.
And he was a Champions League winner.
Good game, this.
Forest, he played for Forest in 92.
The Golden Boot in 93, I should know, really.
Question. Did he play for another Premier League club?
Yes.
Can I ask a question linked to the player without saying his name? If it's in a question form. I'm going to ask it. Did he punch the shit out of Ulrika Johnson?
No.
Okay.
He's not on the Champions League.
There's no way he's on the Champions League.
Otherwise, yeah, true. Didn't think of that.
Your question then should have been, was he the host of Gladiators? Oh, no, that's a different player.
Well, maybe he thought he was in Gladiators at the time with Eureka, I don't know.
Could have said, did he deliver the best piece of commentary we've ever heard on Talksport?
He didn't punch it. He hit it with that big stick.
Question, Max. Did he play for Barcelona?
No.
Who were you thinking there?
Van Hooydonk.
Did he play for Barca?
I think so.
Did he?
Did he play for Forest?
Yeah.
Did he?
Well, that's what I was thinking. Just someone like that. It's some rogue, like.
But again,
I'm struggling really.
I can't think who's won a Golden Boot for Forest.
No.
Okay. Did he win the Champions League with an English club?
Yes.
Okay. Right. I'll have a guess. Is it Andy
Cole? Oh, I got it, yeah.
Andy Cole?
Andy Cole.
No.
Cough.
I'll jump on.
So is that Griffin's guess or is that Sean's guess? Did you say at the same time?
Go on, I'll take it on, on the chin.
Nice one, Sean.
I might be out here. I can't even anyone play for Forest that early.
No.
Well, ask questions. We've got more questions, haven't we?
I was too busy being born.
So he's won the Champions League with an English club. So realistically, it's United, isn't it? Because he's not still going to be playing in 2005.
Yeah. But then I don't think even.
Golden Boot 93, Premier League debut 92, so he's a young, like, starter to get the Golden Boot a year after your Premier League debut.
Yeah.
Was his Premier League question, my last question, was his Premier League debut, is, like, debut in professional football, or had he played in other European countries beforehand?
That's about three questions in one,
that. I'm going to guess, because he's the only... With Sean's logic of United, he's the only one it can be, isn't it? Is it Teddy Sheringham?
Correct.
I didn't
know he played for Forest. I just thought United strikers are tied to him or Ollie, and there's no way Ollie was playing for Forest in 93.
We should have got that really well done, Sean. That's, yeah.
Well, he was the Premier League thing's interesting, right? Because his Premier League debuts from 1992 to Premier League, because he played for Millwall years before that. He made like 200 appearances for Millwall. And then obviously he goes to Tottenham after that. I think it's 93, brings for Tottenham into the goal.
That is clever.
But yeah, do you want the last one? Or do you want to move on?
No, go on.
This is good game.
As long as you're starving, like, yeah, we'll have to whiz through the end. Go on.
So he played for 14 English clubs. He scored 7 goals and 55 appearances for Everton.
Sean.
Yeah.
Marcus Bent.
Correct.
Should have got down 14 English clubs, really.
Yeah.
You, it was your third clue. You had the world's biggest beanhead.
Right, well done, boys.
My clue for that last one would have been Sean got him on his back when he was 13 without thinking about what it would look like.
Go ahead, yeah. Nice one, Max.
I think I remember that, Sean.
Am I the winner there? I got 3.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. You're the winner, yeah.
That was a really good game, though.
Yeah.
Sean, didn't you have like someone else whose number wasn't the right number?
I had the worst run. I had... I think I missed the first. I can't remember the order, but I had 3 in a row of footy shirts. First one was Per Kroldrup, number 5. He was scared to wear the footy and got sold after 6 months. I had Marcus Bent on my back, which, great player, but being 12 in Liverpool, it's not the best name to have on your back. And then I had Stephen Pienaar, number 10, because I rang my brother in JJB. I was like, get it online, tell me what number he is. He's like, number 10, defo number 10. And then he was number 20. And JJB wouldn't give me a refund. So, yeah.
Did you wear it?
Which one did?
Did you wear it?
Yeah.
Oh, you must look so...
Remember Matty Crosby, Max?
Yeah.
He got Danny Murphy once on the back of his footy shirt. I always remember it for some reason. He's like our mates from school, primary school's brother. He got Danny Murphy, and Danny Murphy left... In the summer, he was absolutely fucking wounded. Like, probably gutted.
Seriously, forgetting Danny Murphy.
Danny Murphy's a legend, mate.
Yeah, but
he's just
Danny Murphy, innit? You know what I mean?
Choose him to say Liverpool midfielders, you're getting Gerrard or Murphy. It's probably.
Yeah.
Death piece artist, mate.
Right, go on. Sean's tease calling, so we've got two very quick sections to go. We will do Super Six, and then I'll end it with a closing question.
Can I just say, you just said Sean's tea is calling. We've not added any context at the start. You just sound like you called me at that last day, didn't it?
Yeah.
I reckon Sean's tea's calling.
I'm all right, then you know.
No, you can't. You've got to leave it now.
So Super Six this week, again, like last week, is a midweek. It's the Champions League. So last week we made our own games. I can't be bothered again. So we're just going to go with the Champions League. It also helps Liverpool are involved. So two of you might have a bit more of an interest. So we'll start off with Max, Griffin, then Sean, and then I'll alternate halfway through. So first game is Liverpool, Real Madrid.
Wow.
Is that Liverpool?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is Trent playing? Or has he bottled it?
He said to be, yeah.
I can't see Real Madrid not scoring. I also think we could too, though, so... 3-2 Liverpool.
Is it me?
It's Griffin next.
I think we'll get beat 2-1.
I'm as bitter as it comes, but it just screams a game that Liverpool's going to win that. So I'll go 2-1 Liverpool.
Bad. Max, again, it is PSG Bayern Munich. Just if the overrated around. Harry Kane is going to deliver, isn't it?
Overrated for England.
See if he drops deep like Anthony Gordon.
Bayern Munich, they've won like a bad amount of games in a row, haven't they, or something? And hasn't Harry Kane scored loads? Luis Diaz,
too. Yeah.
Bayern Munich 2-0.
Yeah, Griffin.
I think PSG at home 2-2.
PSG have looked a bit ropey, haven't they? I'll go 2-1 Munich.
Okay, right, switch the order up. So it's Griffin, Shaw, Max. Griffin, you're up first for Spurs, Copenhagen.
4-0 Spurs.
Sean?
I'll go 0-0. Van de Ventel, die. Sorry. I don't know why I said that.
I will go.
It's gone too far.
He's done it. He's crossed the line.
I'll go Spurs 2-1.
Okay. Next one is City Dortmund, Griffin.
City at home.
Yeah.
One all.
4-1 City.
Two nil City.
Okay, last two. We'll go Sean first. Bruges, Barcelona.
I like Bruges. Bruges are like my little. Always keep an eye on them. Barca are struggling in the league, haven't they? I'll go 1-1.
We go Max.
3-0 Barca.
Griffin?
Yeah, I go 4-0 Barca.
Okay, and then the last game is Newcastle Bilbao. Sean to go first.
Anthony Gordon said that, you know. I'll go. See you again. It's Newcastle in the Champions League under the lights. The crowd pulls them through. Then I'll go Newcastle 2-0.
Newcastle 3-0.
I go Newcastle 2-1.
Right, nice one, lads. Just before we move on to the last question, I know you must be starving, Sean, but the updated league table for the Super Six has actually seen, we haven't got a change in positions, but the lead has been cut. Griffin is still at the top on 8, an average of 8, with Max and Tosh joined second on 7.
Oh, wow. You went up.
So, look.
I knew I didn't get many results this week.
What yeah, don't we, do what? The rest of the don't do the rest of the leaderboard there, please.
What did we get last week, Sean, to go?
You what?
What did me and Tosh get last week to go? Because I must have like 4 or 5 games.
You got City Bournemouth spot on. And then you got 2 correct results as well. And Tosh got Burnley Arsenal spot on. So
I don't think I got any scores.
You didn't.
No, I got a few results.
Now, we're not going to do the rest of the table because it doesn't matter, does it, Sean? But
no.
I reckon we'll look again next week, see where you're at.
I'm too hungry for that.
Right. Last question then, before we move on, is something that popped up on my social media this week, which was Wayne Rooney having a walk with Gary Neville. And he talked about kind of like his hype music, the songs he listens to before a game. And he famously said his chosen artist to put on is Susan Boyle. So my question to you is, if you were getting hyped for something, if maybe, I don't know, it doesn't have to be a game, just something that you're coming up and you want to get a bit pumped up, what music are you going with?
I'm doing a, I don't know if anyone else has been into it this week, but I've just been fully locked into Lily Allen talking about David Harbour. Absolutely rinsing it. So if I'm the changes. I'm starting that from the start. That West End Girl tune. And I'm picturing the opposition as David Harbour and we're fucking smoking them, mate.
Yeah, he's sketchy, isn't he, by the way?
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus.
I got fully invested, yeah, fully invested, so. So I wasn't expecting to come up on this podcast, though, to be honest.
Did someone die in his apartment or something? Is that what it was? Wasn't it his apartment?
Yeah,
some girl died.
I think she killed herself or something, yeah.
While he was married?
No, before that. Millie Bobby Brown.
Sexual charges, yeah.
Oh, really, yeah.
He cheated on Lily Allen, like, several times, well, which, I mean...
Are they still together now?
No. No, separated.
No. Listen to the album. Oh, amazing to tell you.
Is it classic Lily Allen where she doesn't even try to like make anything subtle? It's just like
no. One of the songs is literally called Pussy Palace. So yeah.
Previous songs about lying in a wet patch as well. This is always
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my favorite.
I'll give it a go. It might not put me up, but I'll give it a go.
It's my guilty pleasure, and I now want to burn David Harbour alive along with Van der Ven and Andy Gordon.
No idea, really. We have like music playing in the stands and that for our college games. It's just all house music, so yeah. I wouldn't have anything to pick individually. Like certainly not on the lines of Lily Allen. How do you follow that?
I know.
Yeah, it is impossible to follow. I normally listen to mine's normally like soundtracks. In all honesty, so like film soundtracks, The Untouchables. If you listen to sounds like The Untouchables, that is particularly inspiring. Or Elvis, If I Can Dream, that's a good one. Let's get
Moana. Moana's good.
Moana is particularly good, yeah. Any Disney film, really, actually. Yep.
I'm surprised that you two have gone for like you kind of like soft, sorrowful kind of music. You know, like to properly like sing along to. I thought you might go for like a proper.
Yeah, you see me play football. I don't need waking up. I need calming down. I'd be on Susan Boyle. I'd have one of Wayne Rooney's headphones.
I was expecting like Merry Men by 50 Cent from you, Sean. Something like that.
No, don't need that.
Cody Lee, Britain's Got Talent. Oh, that's a good Jesus. One. That gets me going. Any Britain's Got Talent, Golden Buzzer. You know all that music, that really gets me not only emotional but sexually active.
Oh, that American X Factor one of that like Hawaiian guy singing James Blunt songs about his dad dying.
Yeah, oh my god,
My dad is alive and well, and I sit there like close to tears, pretending my dad's dead.
Are we getting ready for a game?
It's an emotional one.
He is. Oh, honestly.
I still have to battle.
I think we've moved on. We moved on from that question now.
In the bath afterwards, me and Sean would be there listening to the monsters.
It would be just cuddling together.
Both. Yeah. Correct.
So anyway, Max, what did you listen to?
I'm Roy Keane in the change room with you two. He's just ready to go on to battle.
Oh my god!
That's your job.
Right. I think that's a good point to leave it. I genuinely didn't expect it to go that way. I was waiting for something.
What's yours, Sean?
Mine would probably be, and it's kind of on a similar line, but not quite. I generally listen to like WWE music. So like, but not.
Stone Cold.
I was just betting the Undertaker. No. Sean's in the toilet having a piss and it's just boom.
No.
And see, he just storms out to the chains with the chilies in his hands.
It's not themes. Have you ever watched the WWE Hall of Fame? So when a wrestler goes in the Hall of Fame, they put like their career highlights in a montage. Like, if you know, WWE do montages better than anyone. And they always put it to some music. And I've watched so many of them, like Mick Foley, Edge, all these wrestlers I've watched so many times that while I'm listening to it, in my head, I'm imagining it's me and I'm in the Hall of Fame. And
The best one of them was The Rock, Stone Cold at Backlash. I think it's Linkin Park.
Yeah.
It is. I'll give you that to you, because that gets me.
Think about that. That was like a hype video, wasn't it, to preview the match.
Yeah.
But in my head, when I'm thinking about me being in the Hall of Fame, I'm imagining all the stuff I'm going to do in this match. All the slide tackles and all the throw-ins I'm going
to do. I rock bottom my mum straight after I listen to it. Heavy.
Yeah. It's fun to get you going,
innit? Well, it sounds good, but I think what you're forgetting there is that James Bond's dad's really corny.
Sorry.
Yeah, and that kid is super fat.
He wants his dinner as well.
He is so fat.
Right, come on, we'll leave it there so Sean can go. But I'll just say,
nice one, boys.
Firstly, lads, thank you very much for joining us this week. If you are listening, give us a like, give us a share. Please comment on all our stuff. We do tend to, and I think probably today more than ever, we've gone off on a few tangents that you could probably do with unpicking a little bit for us. So give us a comment, send it to your mates, and just kind of follow us on social media. Thank you, and we'll see you next week. It's been a blast.